Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome to the show. I'm back. I'm in the house. We're talking Riverdale. It's the end of season two. This is Shadow of a Doubt. I'm so pumped, guys. So many crazy things are happening. Veronica's opening a casino. What the hell? I can't wait to talk about everything with you guys. We'll see you in one quick second. We'll be right back with the Riverdale After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my goodness, Sin City by AC/DC. Oh, Shauna, what a great idea.
Good job, Shauna.
She loved it. It's terrific.
I love this song. It's a gay anthem, you know.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
Oh. All of a sudden, I was really interested, and I was supposed to be like, hey, wait, I know the moves.
Yes, drag queens lip sync it all the time.
So true story, when I was like 14, I was in my first band ever, and I was like the singer in the band. I couldn't really sing yet. We played the song at a talent show. We covered the song, and I did a high kick. I was wearing corduroys. They were baggy,
yes.
I remember. And I did a high kick. And I
love you so much.
Did you
land
it, though?
We didn't win.
Oh. But did you at least feel good about the high kick?
Yes.
Well, then that's all that matters.
I reprised the high kick several times.
Yes.
It was a corduroy high kick, which is not normal. And
were,
very, very commendable.
They were baggy pants. Yeah, it was good. So anyway, guys, how's it going? Welcome back. It's AfterBuzz TV. We're here. We're talking Riverdale. It's season two. We're getting late in the season. We've only got a few episodes left, right? I mean, I think we've got three episodes left, maybe?
Yeah.
The stakes are getting high. There's so much murder, so much sex.
This show is getting to be a bit much. I'm like, whoa, who died this time and who had sex this time?
It's wild. It's wild.
It's great.
It's true.
And we have a great panel today. So on the far end here, we have Mr. Frank Moran. Happy
Jackie. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here with everybody. Yeah. I saw it last week. So please, and everybody, if you're as excited as I am to see the return of Ben Bateman, make sure you follow him on social media and see that sweet first headshot. I fell in love with him just a little bit more when I saw that.
Are you talking about my TBT where I had the locks?
Loved
ones?
It. These ones? Loved it.
Oh, I got to see that. Oh,
yes. Really?
Oh,
yeah. The lion mane. It was awesome.
Wait a minute now. You guys know I like a little bit of that now.
Are you kidding? You already like the picture. I remember your name coming up.
I like it, but I like it because it's you. But now that I'm hearing about what it looked like, I remember. Beautiful.
You're playing hard to get. Shauna, how you doing? Welcome back to the panel.
Hey, it's me, your girl, Shauna. Oh, and I just want to tell you guys, this episode had me clutching my imaginary pearls. And at the end, I was like, mouth open, can't believe what happened.
Jaw dropped.
Yes. Yeah.
And I got my boy, Matt Maher. He's my buddy from the Preacher panel.
Sure.
We always talked about Riverdale, and he's here on the panel with me tonight. I'm so excited.
I'm sad Sam is sick, but I'm glad that she texted me to say fill in for me. So, hello, y'all.
Yes, we miss you, Sam.
Happy to be here. Yes, we miss you, Sam.
Yeah, so, you know, we got a lot coming up on tonight's episode. Some serpent apparently was doing Midge. What the hell? I gotta say.
I thought was gay?
Yeah, right?
I thought they were giving us vibes like he was, you know...
Well, and the travesty of it all is that Midge keeps dating gay guys.
Yeah, she does.
She just can't do it.
There's something. Used to being
she's
the,
bless
little,
her heart.
A little self-destructive. Apparently, Dr. Curdle prefers small bills. Yep. And Small Fry, apparently, is looking for payback. So there's a lot to talk about on tonight's episode. We have everything to break down. We have a campaign to break down. We have Betty, full confession at the dinner table. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness! There's so much on tonight's episode.
Just
so,
tea.
What I want to know from what I want to know from you guys first and foremost is what was your initial reaction to the episode? Obviously, you know, following up, we had a musical episode. We had a really good episode last week. I thought last week was absolutely terrific.
And then, I hated it.
Really?
We've already Ben Bateman. I love the musical episode, and I hated last week. I hated it. It was my least favorite episode of the season.
I hated the musical episode, but I could not stand it. The voices were so bad.
Cheryl couldn't sing.
Maddie Pesch, but good Lord was
Maddie Pesch could not sing.
But it's, you are the only person who thinks that. Are you
kidding? No, Maddie Pesh could not sing. It was
are
on,
you kidding me?
I'm an opera queen, so I'm like, I'm picky about this.
And I know nothing
but
about
story-wise, I loved it.
I could literally do all of Cheryl's parts right now on command better than Cheryl.
But it didn't matter that she could sing because that scene was so good. Anyway, that was last week. I'm sorry.
So I like last week's episode, though, and then, you know, but tonight, like, there's so many crazy... I think tonight really felt to me like they were setting up what we're going to see. I feel like we have just a few episodes left, and this felt like they were setting the table for some major developments and kind of probably major deaths that are going to happen, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, go ahead.
I thought there was just a lot of dumb stuff in this episode.
Really?
Yes. So, Archie and Veronica deciding to... she comes over and says, hey, Papa Andrews, I'm a big fan. Big fan. I'm throwing my loyalty and support behind your campaign.
Right.
Excuse us while I go upstairs and have sex with your son now.
Yeah.
That seems so weird.
It's Riverdale. When is that not going to happen? The sex is the...
Come on.
But it was just strange. The way it was like a reward.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. You're now supporting my father. Come up here and get this beefcake. It's like, no. That was not okay. These are high school students.
Yeah. And then the whole thing with Fang and the town, like a lynch mob, I was like, come on. That just seemed too far. I'm like, get out of here.
The White Fang lynch mob may have been the most melodramatic scene I've ever seen, honestly.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. It was in slow motion.
And I kind of even...
it was. It was in slow motion.
They were all hugging each other, and it was just like, I'm like, you guys better run. You guys better get through fast.
I feel like I needed a trigger warning, too, a little bit. Because I felt a little bit like the shooting, like a shooter, a bunch of people. I was like, hashtag too soon. Like, literally, it actually gave me anxiety with what's going on in the current class. And so I was kind of surprised that they did that in the middle. Maybe they did that to relate to what's going on. But then, I don't know, something about it felt a little forced to me.
Sure.
To me. Mm. I don't know.
So yeah, talk to me.
I was going to say, I wrote that down, too. I was totally, like, aware of the fact that they were doing the shooting thing on purpose in, like, a mass shooting theater type of thing.
Right.
And I felt the terror, and I think they portrayed it better with Hermione, and how she reacted to it is what really brought it home for me.
So talk to me a little bit about what you guys think about this whole idea that Hal is the Black Hood. Because, like, honestly, we've dealt with this for quite a while. Lachlan Monroe has been teased as... I think he's been a dark horse candidate for the Black Hood for some time. And tonight, they really laid it on thick. You know, Betty's at the dinner table, and he says, you know, I can relate to the darkness, and we find the clippings. Like, do we really think... I mean, this is so heavy-handed. Do we really think that Hal is the Black Hood?
They could be tricking us.
I don't think so. And it just seemed like that scene at the end where she calls him, let's have that meeting. I'm like, what? All right. That scene seemed out of place to me. I don't know.
It kind of was like they cleared it up.
Yeah.
And then Betty was like, no, I didn't see. I mean, the thing is, I have a big problem with Riverdale when it focuses too much on the parents, when it focuses on the parents' plot, not the kids' plot. And that's why I feel like it's been a problem for me a lot in this season, because I just want Hiram Lodge to die. And
Consuelos?
Die. Oh, take him out. And
the arm van.
But
precious.
I feel like they finally gave Hal Cooper something to do.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had anything to do. And it's interesting just because I always screw up her name, but Mac and Pesh is her wife, and that woman can act in a Walmart bag because she's so
amazing.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper. Yeah, imagine.
So I do like this stuff. I don't know. I don't think he's a Black Hood. I think they're just trying to. I don't think he's going to be. I just think they're giving us... I think they're psyching us out.
Yeah. Well, I think he's one of them.
Right.
I mean, I think either he's one of them or he's involved somehow. He is just too mysterious, and he's just not... He does not give me good vibes. I try to look into the television, feel the vibes. He doesn't give me good vibes.
Well, yeah. Derek Hogan in the chat says that Hal has blue eyes and the Black Hood has green.
Yes, right. So, I mean, one of the big details is that, like, basically, if there was real concern, then, like, it's like, why would Archie not just at some point be like, okay, Hal... Let me look into your eyes. Are you the Black Hood or not? Because I can tell. Because I've seen your eyes, I don't know, 17,000 times.
He's walking around the neighborhood just looking in guys' eyes. Because Archie's the best detective in the world, y'all.
Oh, yes. He's terrible.
And not very bright is something I think that this show has really taken the liberty to show us.
Oh, yeah.
Is that as much as we, in the beginning, thought that it was Archie's show, and as we kind of went, we were like, okay, you know, he's a character, he's a fun character. I feel like now Archie's a little bit like the punchline. He's like kind of an
idiot. Yeah, I agree too.
Right?
Well, I think Riverdale is one of those shows that, I mean, you hear this a lot. When actors really bring something to a role that writers don't expect, writers then write for them.
Sure.
And I think we've seen that with Betty Cooper. I think she's a breakout star of the show.
Yep.
And I don't know if they expected that as much. And KJ Apa, his abs look amazing.
So good.
He's extraordinarily low percent body fat, and he's got really flat abs. You know, yeah. Not a lot of glycogen. No. It's like very like
okay.
His trailer smells like human growth hormone, probably.
Was the second part that you didn't like about last week's episode was the fact that when he was running to rescue Veronica, he had a shirt on.
Well.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But you want to cut down on wind resistance,
but
right?
But in the previous episode, we got like a really extraneous push-up shot, so I felt like it was kind of balanced out, right?
Yeah, but I think you want to just, you know, cut down on anything that's going to hold you back. So, you know, make yourself lighter. Lose
sure.
that shirt.
I get that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad he didn't. It was right before he got, like, beat up by Nick Sinclair. So yeah, he right. needed his shirt on for extra padding and protection. But bringing it back to this episode, I wrote down... Was this because Archie's like going out and campaigning for his father, and then he's like, "Well, I'm really just looking in the eyes of other people." But it's like, is he or is he secretly? Did you notice how he was like, "I'm voting for Hiram"? He's like, "Don't you mean Hermione?" And then he's like, "Take this."
Right, right, right.
Is he really campaigning, and then just telling Hiram that he's not, or is he really just looking in people's eyes?
I don't know if he's really campaigning. He's just handing out that brochure. I don't know if that Archie's really got those talking points on lock.
Yeah.
You know, my father's got a three-point campaign, a three-point plan for Riverdale.
Archie's right. not in debate club, girl.
I agree, so, but he is handing out. I mean, he is starting to, like, pull away from Hiram, and that's
sure.
a part of it. I mean,
definitely.
Before, he wouldn't even do that. He wouldn't even support his
Well,
father.
I mean, starting with, obviously, giving the Firebird back. I mean, that's a big move. So, like,
that
that's
was a big move. I like
definitely
that.
Move. I mean, that was the only interesting thing that happened then. Entire freaking episode, though. The episode's horrible, but that was a good moment. But you know, he is moving away from Hiram. So here's my question for you guys: do you think that KJ Apa is a good actor? Because, like, I've been thinking about this recently as I've watched so many episodes of Riverdale. He is pretty limited in what they give him, right? He doesn't get like a lot of big scenes, and it seems like they've moved him kind of further and further into the like
supporting cast member.
I'm just that fun guy who does these fun things type of stuff. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Is he good?
No. I mean, I've made no bones about it. So, I mean, the reason why I'm here is I do my own very explicit, if you listen to it, podcast about Riverdale. And me and my friend, like, his acting is horrible. And I wanted to, you thought the first season, you're like, okay, he's growing into the role. He's a newfound. So, and even I watched the interview, like, season 2, he's like, I really felt like I just nailed some of these scenes. And
we're like,
I
what
just,
scenes?
Yeah, because he can't, kind of the only thing he does is that rescue face. And that's anger, that's sadness. It's
right.
the same kind of, I mean, bless him. I just think he's not, and it's sad because what they're having him do, it kind of goes back to, I think why Archie's been really bad this season is that he's just reacting to Hiram Lodge. It's like, and so I wish it's more interesting when Archie has scenes with the girls, and it's more interesting when he has scenes. The scenes I've liked with Archie are the scenes with him and Jughead, when their relationship. I think if they wrote scenes like that for Archie, where he's focusing with his friends more, it would be more realistic.
I think that Cole Sprouse is a far more seasoned actor,
and
even
great.
If it is TV acting, I think that having done it for so long really made Cole Sprouse kind of, you know, he primed him for this show. And I think that that's evident when you see those two together.
Yeah.
Is that the KJ feels like a younger actor. But
yeah.
Before we move on to the next bit of this review, I do want to remind everybody here, we have a great suggestion for you. If you want to have fun, we have a great suggestion for you to learn and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos features it's the podcast edition. It's hosted by AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every single Friday on iTunes. It features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to better in all aspects of your life what you're doing, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes, subscribe. Let her know that we directed you there. That's kind of what we're doing here. We want to let you guys know to go check out Maria. She is a mentor to all of us here at AfterBuzz TV. Exactly. Obviously, we all started in podcasting and doing hosting because Maria suggested it. So check out Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. It's available now. Be sure to rate, comment, let her know that we sent you there. And, you know, just that's kind of the deal. So
There you go.
I feel like with Archie and Hiram, this big, huge blood oath that he made to them, I feel like less and less as it goes on this season. I thought it was like such a crucial part. But now it's like it's rarely brought up. It doesn't seem like if Archie wanted to just leave and do something on his own, I feel like there would be no consequence to it at all. Because Hiram's not like, you know, you swore a blood oath to us, so why are you even, so, you know, why are you campaigning for your father? Why are you even going out for this? It should be us. He never mentions it at all.
Again. It does seem a little bit like the blood oath, the like, you're my guy, we're a crime family thing, went away in like one or two episodes, and all of a sudden Archie's just like, no, I like my dad better than you. Take your car back. None of it matters. I'm my own teenager. And right. Hiram's like, ooh, Archie, you make a strong point. And so like, I'm going to slit your throat because I'm a crime family, like, which is like kind of what it feels like should be happening, right?
I feel the
if they kill Archie, I'm on this show. That's amazing. I'm going to miss his ass. So let's be honest. Yeah. Reggie is there.
I mean, maybe Reggie, I won't
maybe
look at
Moose
his
can take his shirt off, Cody Kearsley, but that would be I would be clutching my pearls.
Yes. Well, Reggie's abs are off limits because he's evil. Yes, so no, yeah. Reggie's abs.
They're all the same in the dark.
But shooter.
They're all the same in the dark.
They're all the same in the dark.
Even in this episode where he finds out that Hiram is financing the Dark Circle behind Archie's back, like Yucky. Archie doesn't mention that even at the debate. Like, he doesn't try to fight. You're like, hey, Dad, I'm sorry, but you know what? Hiram's behind this. Nothing gets mentioned.
He's a Labrador. Yeah. He's a Labrador.
Yeah. Right.
But is he being strategic? Like, okay. Right. No. Never mind. He's not very strategic. He's not being strategic, so therefore, he really just is not telling his father.
That's like saying Ben Bateman is never not pretty. He always is. Yeah.
Right. And we don't even joke like that. This man is pretty all the time.
Oh, you guys are too much.
True, look at those eyes.
So flash forward for a second to this crazy riot that happens at the end of the episode, right? And you have Reggie has the gun. You have all this craziness.
But wait. Before we go there, I just wanted to say, I feel the energy. I feel Hiram's energy. His crime lord energy you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Like, he is making Reggie the new capo.
Yeah, but like, okay, so I want to back up actually even further on that. Because what I wonder is, like, the whole Hermione is the godmother reveal that we got at the mid-season finale.
Totally.
What happened?
Yeah.
What happened was Hiram started, like, doing something behind closed doors with that woman because she's
scared. No, that's ridiculous. They gave us a total red herring with that, I feel like. I feel like they suggested
you're both right. They've done both of that.
They suggested it, and like, I feel like in the episode since, it's just been like, no. She's totally irrelevant.
Right.
Which would have been... That was honestly my prediction going into season two, is I thought Hermione's going to be like a big bad, because, again, they kind of didn't know what to do with her in season one, and that's what I thought. And then when they gave us that mid-season, I was like, yes! And then this is good! Like, something. And then... it does feel a little bit kind of like they just said, hey, we have this idea, we have this idea. And they just have been throwing stuff against the wall. And it's, but there's with no... And then, like, let's kill the Black Hood. No, just kidding. Let's bring him back, because that was really enjoyable. And it seems a little bit like, I don't know. It's just, I'm just kind of like, were they not prepared for season two? And then they got renewed and they're like, crap.
Apparently. Are you guys disappointed a little bit that the Black Hood has stuck around? Like, that plot line after we got a very dissatisfying finale, by the way, in the mid-season. But, like, are you dissatisfied that he's stuck around?
I think I rather would have had... Because certainly 13 episodes compared to 23 that they're doing. So that increases the order count, makes it a little harder.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I rather would have had it... Tell me, like, the first 13 episodes, you're just telling one complete story, and then have the second one to have, like, something from the first part of the season, the Black Hood, kind of bleed back into the second half. I'm like,
sure.
Great. I think I rather would have had two complete stories.
Yeah.
That.
It feels like we have taken what should have been a satisfying conclusion, and we've just kind of amortized it across the back half of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also feel like Hiram's, because I certainly he's operating from a relative position of weakness in terms of the crime bosses. But Archie stood up at that meeting and he talked a little smack. Mm-hmm. But like, even last week when he was held hostage, the fact that Hiram, I feel like he had no resources, that he was going to let Nick St. Clair, this kid, outfox him. Like, he's got, what about his boy, his guy in the lobby, his doorman?
Of course.
Yeah, like, send him on this test.
Jarvis.
Yeah, no, whatever his name is, but send him on the,
Andre.
Yeah, Andre, that he did
is
nothing
he setting
with him.
Archie up? I mean, like, he's always underhanding Archie. Like, even with telling Reggie, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's getting out of jail. Like, he's just always giving the information. He's a snitch.
Right.
Hiram is a snitch, you guys.
He is.
And he's telling everyone everything that's against Archie. So it's very confusing about what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
I can only... I wish, like, because Reggie just seems like one thing. Like, you just... You tell him something and he will just take the worst extreme of it. I wish that seemed like a character that doesn't have a lot of staying power with me. So, I mean, if we're going to see him as more of a regular next season, I'd love to see some range for him. Because otherwise, just like, we tell something, Reggie, that's just kind of terrible, and then he just goes to 100 and wanted to execute.
If Archie's a Labrador, Reggie's a pit bull.
Yes.
Right. Are you guys satisfied, by the way, with the actor change on Reggie? Are you like, we have barely talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the new actor's way hotter, right?
Oh, my. Charles Melton's lips are like, even when he was angry at the end and kind of walking out and trying to look angry slash a little constipated looking. But his lips, I literally typed, I was like, lips are still pouty. They were just still so pretty. Right.
He's a good looking guy.
I love a guy that can do it. Like that?
Yeah, he's got great hair.
I feel
hair.
Like he could do that.
He knows it on his Instagram. I don't know. I don't message him every day. But
me either.
But then what I just read, the new actor just got the old Reggie, maybe the chat can help me out, but he just got a sweet gig.
Ross Butler. I follow him on Twitter, and I feel like he got...
He's doing that season two of...
13 Reasons Why, but he's also in something else.
Something bigger.
He booked something bigger than, like, a BTV show. He booked, like...
Like a film or like a...
Yeah, it was something pretty big. And I've heard... I mean, I'm no verification, but I've heard he's the worst, so...
Oh, yeah. Well,
from Ben Bateman's lips...
Yeah. Yeah,
to the internet's ears, right there.
What? Just saying.
This man is known to give a good shocker. He didn't say he's the worst. Not the best, but the worst.
Just what I've heard. I mean, nothing, you know, I'm not going to name sources, so.
I would feel like this whole thing with Reggie by the end of the episode would have meant more to me if we would have seen any episodes, anything early episodes of Reggie and Midge having any scene together.
Right? Can we?
Like, why is he so upset?
Seriously.
I don't even get why I did an interview with Cody Carusley, Moose, and I asked him, I was like, what the heck with Midge? And he was like, I know. Even he kind of was like, she was there and then not. It was kind of this weird, because she's a part of that. It's always Moose and Midge in the comics,
it's
right?
It's a big comic. Right.
So I think that, again, too, with like the whole like Moose coming out and storyline, that could have been way more interesting. And again, like a plot that's going on about these teenagers instead of about these parents.
It honestly feels like with Moose and Midge, the way they set it up was that, like, you have all of these characters that matter that do things. And then Moose and Midge, it was like the jock who's gay.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. He's in Shazam. That's what he's in. Ross Butler's in Shazam. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And his totally irrelevant girlfriend, who was only relevant because she was shot but didn't die in an earlier episode, and then she actually died.
Right.
In a later episode.
Like, what do we got to kill again?
Talk about, like, sloppy storytelling. It was like, Midge actually never got a single episode where she mattered, aside from being shot and not dying in a way that was totally unbelievable. Like, Zodiac stats.
Yes.
Like, just, like, actually, like, we're going to shoot you close range a bunch of times. Totally fine. You recover in a couple weeks. And then you're stabbed to death on stage. And sorry, actress who plays Midge, because that's actually how irrelevant the show made her. I can't even name her by name.
No, I'm sorry.
She's gone now forever.
And they gave her a real bad wig, y'all.
Yeah.
Really bad. It was not unbelievable. It was bad. And by the way, that was Cass LaGault who gave that shout out about Ross Butler and Shazam. So thank you, Cass.
Thank you.
Just say about Midge, though. I think the whole point of her was just to roll with the whole down low idea. Like, Moose is on the DL, right? And then she's his, like, decoy girlfriend.
Totally.
Right? So that was her. I think that was her thing, but... Girl, you weren't even that great of a decoy girlfriend. Like, I need you to get real jiggy with it when you're in public with him or something, you know?
Because she was dating another gay guy.
Well, because what I will say is that I do think, I understand that in a television show, especially an ensemble show like this, you have to feature all of your major characters. You have to find ways in your 43 minutes to feature everyone. So Midge and Moose, they're not, like, super significant parts.
No.
But to only ever show you Midge in a couple moments, and really only show you Moose in similar moments where it's like, he's the closeted gay jock, and she's the irrelevant girlfriend of the closeted gay jock, and that's like, we got the moments where it's supposed to illustrate exactly those things, that's sloppy storytelling. Because, like, they become plot devices. And you don't ever want to watch a show where you're just like, that person that I'm watching right now, I don't have to care about because they're supposed to get me from A to B.
Yeah.
And that's not fun. That isn't, that's not smart. That's not good. That doesn't make us feel smart as an audience, right?
No, sorry, I'm going to harp on this the last time, but if they replaced all the drama with Fred and with the lodges and all the adult crap, if they took that out and replaced it with, like, you know, Kevin and Moose have a scene when Moose is in the hospital. It's like this big heartfelt scene. He's like trying to connect and they can't. They never bring it up again.
I know, that was a great scene. That was
a great scene.
Yeah, I agree.
And, but I mean, really, when it comes to the only, like, because Betty Cooper is my goddess, and every time she's on screen, I feel reborn. But only between her and Hot Skeet Ulrich are the scenes that, like, the adult scenes that I really felt were, I really gave two craps about.
I mean, even Andrea Zuckerman got her own episodes. And 90210, you know? So you gotta treat those people
Andrea
deep in the roster.
Zuckerman. There's like three of you in the chat who probably know who that is, but I do. Thank you.
Rock solid. So, guys, on that note, on Andrea Zuckerman, I want to remind everybody here listening that we do this show. We don't charge any money. We never have, and AfterBuzz never will. And
it's a Ben Bateman guarantee.
Doing the show, the biggest thing we ask of you guys, I mean, this is literally it. If you just find the show on iTunes, because this goes out as both an audio podcast, and we also stream it live on video on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If you go give us a rating and a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. If you love Frank, give us 5 stars, please. You love Frank.
Yes. But there would be no 5 stars then.
We do have a very nice radio voice.
Oh,
it's very calming.
A review, anything. It's just like, hey, I love Riverdale. The AfterBuzz show is great. If you do that, and then, you know, like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. That's a thing, too, because, like, it helps us keep going. And if we can keep the lights on here, the show will keep going. And that's how we do this. We will never, ever, ever charge money for it. So.
And you want to see Ben's handsome face.
Yes.
You
definitely do.
Those baby blues.
I think you guys are actually just trolling me at this point. You say it so much. But you know what? If you're trolling me, I'll be the butt of the joke. So
I'm never trolling you. I am never trolling.
Thank you so much.
It's all honest.
120% aboard the Ben Bateman train.
You guys are the best. All right. Let's keep talking about the show.
Actually, I love the chat's not even talking about the show. They're all basically they're talking about Black Adam and Shazam.
Yeah, right. It's a big deal. I mean, look,
which is fine. Y'all live your truth.
The whole entire world is basically just superhero movies. Like, and this is a quick just side note because I've been talking about this all day. But so last weekend when Infinity War opened, right? Mm-hmm. 640 million internationally. Do you guys know that in 4 days there are 125 movies in the history of the world that have opened worldwide total ever, like in their theatrical runs all across the world, that made more money than that movie made in 4 days?
What?
In 4 days, it was the 126th highest grossing film ever in history. Worldwide.
Wow.
In 4 days. By now, it's already made 200 million more. It's like number 60.
That's unbelievable.
It'll be the highest grossing film of all time by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was amazing.
And it was worth it.
I loved it.
I mean,
I was obsessed.
Let's not talk about the ending, but hey.
I did, multiple reviews. So, all right, let's keep talking about the show.
Okay.
So, all right, we have a few episodes left, guys. What I want to know from you is, do we think that there will be any major developments, because I know we didn't see a lot this episode, between Alice and FP by the end of the season?
Well, I talked about it last week. I said that Fallas is sadly over.
That was a rough moment, right?
It was a rough moment, and I'm not feeling any type of, like, return. I feel like she's now just solidified in her position at the house. She knows what she's done. She's confessed it to Hal. I think she's a little down. But, of course, I'm just giving you guys a little different
But I don't believe this bull crap. Mm-hmm. That Hal's back and it's all good. Like, that doesn't that feel totally disingenuous to you guys?
It feels
ridiculous to me when I watch it. I'm like, there's no way this is gonna last.
No, Hal's out. He's either dying or he's out.
Totally.
And just because she already left him and it was great. She, like, zhuzhed her hair and she put on red lipstick and she was like serpent again, and I loved it too. But I don't think Hal Cooper is the black pig, no, a black hood.
people in black
I don't
hoods.
Know what that is. But I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, I feel like he's going to die. I feel like, yeah, I feel like he might die.
You think in the next three episodes, Hal's dead?
I don't know. I just want him gone. I want him and Hiram gone. That's what I want. I want him to kill them both.
There's no way Consuelos is gone. No, none. But Hal's going to die, I think.
Well, like, I guess, I mean, you could take him off the show and not lose anything.
Nothing.
Because you can still have the paper run with Alice, so she could take over the paper. So, I mean, Hal seems kind of superfluous at this point.
And he already was like a... like a gigolo to Cheryl's mom, and that's didn't matter.
So strange.
Maybe they're going to work at the casino, y'all, because high schoolers open casinos.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Where's high Cheryl's schoolers mom, open though, casinos.
So all these dudes came to court, Veronica, and they're like, oh, I'm going to open a cannery, a casino. And it's like, she's like, okay, I'll open a casino. And you're like, you're 16.
You're 16. Gonna run like, you can't even get in it.
Right. You're going to run a casino, and like, this will all just... be cool, I guess.
She's like the boudoirs and the bourgeois. I'm going to be doing the same thing. Like, when she was talking like that, I was like, what is she talking about, people?
Look, flash forward to the episode where all of Riverdale is, like, partying at the casino and, like, Josie's dancing on the table. I'm so in. So, like...
at that point, we're all teenagers. Yeah, okay? Right. We're there.
Yeah.
It's like you pay for 1 hour of legal time, and then that's it. That's like, boom, I got it. Is everything I needed to know and do?
License.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. It's true. Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of that, like, attorney McCoy, is she going against? She's purposely, like, representing Fang so that she can go against
that. I'm interested in
that. Sheriff Keller's out,
right?
With this new semi-hot, but evil is not hot, guys. But semi-hot sheriff.
Let's give Robin Givens something to do, or actually, let's give Robin Givens and Josie something to do.
But I mean, bottom line, I was a bigger fan of Sheriff Keller. I feel like they should have given him more shirtless scenes to work out.
Oh my God, yeah. Hot Daddy Keller.
Right?
Although the new sheriff, whatever, the new sheriff is cute too.
Two people have called him Sheriff Whatever. It's not a good sign for his character.
We don't care.
Sheriff
about
Keller
him.
Is coming back. There was too much of a fandemonium.
Full on, yeah, 100%.
If he leaves the show, I have not stopped watching. Sheriff Keller, I can't.
But I would think, like, everybody they can put it up to a series regular this season, including Kevin and Josie. I mean, I feel like both of them have been so underutilized.
Oh, yeah, they
to get
were.
That promotion.
Oh my God.
So Reggie, you're still not going to be any scene sugar.
Speaking of which, I suggest we actually get into a small piece of news, which is that this week both Vanessa Morgan and Charles Melton were announced as series regulars on the show.
Yay.
So for season 3, Riverdale, we now have Tony Topaz and new pouty-lipped Reggie coming back as series regulars. But what does that actually mean when you consider stars that we had in, you know, Archie and Betty and Veronica and Cheryl and Josie and Kevin did not seem like they were elevated. They had like they both had like two episodes where they seemed more important, but Josie was actually irrelevant. Kevin had like two episodes where he was important. Like, I can think of his episode. Josie, I'm just like...
True, like the one where he's trolling in the park.
That was a good episode. And Kevin's moments were great, but, like, Josie, wasn't her episode with her dad in the first season anyway? Like,
yep.
Then they had the... What was the episode? Was it in the first... Which was the best episode, I think, of the season. The one that was, like, the three vignettes.
Right.
That was super creepy.
Cheryl was in love with Josie.
And, like, so they brought in the Cheryl and Josie and Robert, I forget his name, the guy who runs the show.
Aguirre Sacasa.
Yeah, three names. And he said, like, he teased because someone asked him a question, like, what about Cheryl and Josie? And he said, we're going to get to that by the end of the season. And I'm like, are you waiting till the last episode?
But they did get to it, though. They addressed it, and Josie found out that Cheryl was the one.
Kind of, but...
And then they went through this whole thing with their friendship.
I guess, because now she's with Tony Topaz. But it's like, again, it's like, you bring in Tony Topaz, which is cool. It's just interesting. It's interesting. It's like, they have an idea for a character, and then let's not... Now there's not even, like... Yeah, I like music. But there's not even the Pussycats anymore. You know what I mean?
I think Josie was literally like, Cheryl, what happened? And she was like, well, I was obsessed. And she's like, well, your voice is really bad and you're singing a lot, so I feel sorry for you. Let's be friends again. That's
Look
actually what happened.
Yeah. She didn't sound that bad.
Like, Tony Topaz this season, I felt, had more to do than Josie did. Yeah. She was just a guest star.
Yeah.
Now she's full on, though, because she's Shoni. She's a part of Shoni.
She's also best friends with Maddie Pesch.
Right.
They're like, in real life, like, actually the closest thing in the world.
Which is hilarious that they have to, like, kiss each other.
All they do is, like, post pictures together and ride motorcycles. They're, like, besties straight up.
Yeah. Let's be in realness riding motorcycles. I'm proud for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
In Vancouver.
Fix that transmission.
Here's my thing. If you were a star of a CW show, like if you booked the role, pretty much by and large, you would live in Vancouver for 9 months out of the year, like eight months out of the year. Like, that's what your life would be.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine. Like, after a few months, you're like, okay, I'm making a ton of money. I'm on the show. It's going to air in a little while. some people will watch it, but you're stuck there. You have to film 23 episodes. I mean, you're there for like 75% of your year.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, I don't know if I'd be satisfied in my life. I mean, no disrespect to the actors, because like, you're making a ton of money and you're famous, so like, you're probably super satisfied. But I also know that after several seasons, like some of the actors on The 100 that I know that did exactly what I'm talking about, it's just like, you can't do that much else. You can't film movies. You can't really, you're there. You're stuck in like rainy Vancouver on set for like 9 months mm-hmm. at a time.
Do you not like Vancouver just as a city?
I bet I've been like 2 or 3 times. It just seems like hard to imagine being able to, like, I mean, I'm just totally
coming
rambling.
Right, yes.
AfterBuzz is not brought to you by the City of Vancouver Tourism Department.
They got a great comic book shop right there on the main drag.
Really?
You get some poutine. Yeah.
Poutine is good.
Papa Poutine.
You had poutine in Vancouver?
I have. I did some improv there on the island. Yeah, I mean, there'd be fun stuff to do there.
When that dude with the big teeth said to Archie, you were responsible for the the death of Papa Poutine, how did that make you feel? Or
you like, did you call him the big teeth guy?
He was, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he did have big teeth.
Yep.
Right? He did have big teeth.
Oh, you brought up Archie and the FBI and Papa Poutine. That was rough.
Are you his couple? No. No, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah. This show is getting into like such preposterous territory. Like, I like honestly,
even with that Godfather music, and you're like, "Hey, Archie!"
There are like moments in the show that happen now where I'm just like, "Okay, so like, no one's gonna ever go to jail. No one's ever gonna actually stay dead if you're important, and no one can act." Like, that's like I have my moments where I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is great," and I have my moments where I'm just like, "What the F happened to this show?" I'm like, the first season I was like, oh, this is such like sweet, just like teen drama.
It's
like,
not teen drama. That's
not
it.
Anymore.
It's not teen drama. They need to get rid of almost all of the adults on this show, I'm telling you, and make this about the kids.
It's straight up just like, this is not believable, like totally over the top, ridiculous melodrama now.
But it's not that bad. I mean, Hiram comes off as the kind of guy who could possibly inflict this kind of, he has tons of money, and he's evil as hell, we're learning. He does not respect, obviously, his own daughter and wife. So, like, this guy could really do this to a town. Especially with, we don't know who the Black Hood is. Betty and Jughead are detectives of the year, but they can't seem to make it. I mean, it's like, they're so good, but not good enough. So I feel like it is a little bit unbelievable, but if you just suspend the disbelief, you can believe this. It's just a bit too much on the adults.
So, but you've got to have good acting to suspend disbelief.
And when I say no one can act, I'm exaggerating.
I
enjoy a lot of the actors in this show. It just feels like there are so many moments right now where I'm just like, the stakes are pushed so far over the cliff that it's hard for me to like look at it and be like, oh yeah, I believe this acting. It's almost like, do I believe this moment? Like, it's just, that's what I feel like. But here's what I really want to know. And I'm going to start with you, Frank.
Good point.
We have several episodes left of the season. Where are we going to end up? What's going to happen? How is this, like, how are we going to, like, what's the cliffhanger that's going to bring us into season 3?
I mean, it's going to all revolve around the Black Hood. That's what it's going to be. We're going to find out what the real identity is and what his ties are to Riverdale and what kind of, and I'm sure mm-hmm. something from that is going to turn us into season 3.
Yeah.
There's going to be something that is connected to that. Now with him dead, is now going to be uncovered, and now that it launches a new mystery.
If he's still around going into season 3, if it's still a cliffhanger, will you be disappointed?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine he goes into season 3. There's got to be a resolution to that, and then the aftermath is what propels us into
die
season 3.
Or be caught. All right, Sean, what do you think?
I think that as far as the Black Hood goes, or for season 3?
Season 3, yeah.
Season 3, I definitely hope that there is no Black Hood, and if there is, then I hope that we are like frying him on the first episode and figuring out what his deal was, and then let that go. We got other things to talk about, okay? Like Capo Reggie. I'm worried about him. Even though, like you said, he's very one-dimensional, that rage could really light the town on fire, especially if they like put him in charge of like a prison or something like that, right? Which they're building.
God.
Oh, something geez. Like that. He might be a little right.
I mean, if teenagers can run casinos, why can't they run a prison?
They run prisons. I mean, as long as you're angry enough, Hiram's down for you.
Seriously, right?
So yeah, I'm worried about the corruption in the town.
We Hiram. Like barely talked about the casino aspect. I'm so stoked.
We don't really like it.
I hope for more season 3. I just want more gay stuff. You know, I just want Kevin and
Miss.
No, but I do want hot Sheriff Keller. But it goes back to, I want no adults. Anytime I say no adults, take a shot on this show and you'll get drunk, everybody. But no, I hope on this show that My things that I love are when I have Jughead and Archie kind of trying to do something together and Betty and Veronica doing something together. Like, if this show decided, hey, just kidding, it's not Riverdale anymore, it's now a spinoff, it's a procedural where it's like Detective Betty, like Veronica Mars, and Veronica, it's every episode, I'm like, I am in.
Right.
This I'm interested in. So I wanted to go back to kind of what you said earlier. I just hope that this show goes back to teen drama.
So my
and Blackwood's dead.
My thing is that I don't think that the show has to be teen drama. Like, I've actually really enjoyed Skeet Ulrich.
He's great.
In fact, a lot of the parents I've really enjoyed. Like, I think their moments have been totally fine. I think the even split has been a problem, and I think that pushing the stakes into the, like, sort of supernatural slash really extreme crime plot lines has made me feel like, how can we last for 6 seasons? Because how can we rebound to a point where I actually believe anymore?
Because it gets
Archie's like living a regular life, or that like any of these characters for that matter are living regular lives. Like it's based on a comic book, but it became very comic booky, and they can recover. I mean, they can do what they can do, but like there are so many dead bodies. There's so much like deception and murder and incest and all these crazy things now
the gay conversion,
That I'm honestly just like, okay, so like, if Archie starts dating Betty, is that going to be like a big enough deal? Because it feels so irrelevant compared to all the plot lines.
Right.
And ultimately, when I think about season one, I'm like episode 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like, I wanted Archie to date Betty.
They muted Archie.
I mean, or anything, for that matter. You know, even, like, Veronica dating Jughead, which I don't want, but, like, if that was to happen, it would seem, like, not a big deal compared to, like, what's happened in the rest of the show. So when I think about season three, I'm just like, I don't know. It can't be the Black Hood.
A little more Chuck, maybe, would change up the situation.
He was great. I like
Chuck
seeing him come back.
With Josie.
Oh, Chuck is
the
hot.
The ships. People
but
love
he is
the
killing
ships.
It on BL right now. So he's on Blacklight. He is. Yes. I don't know how y'all got that man in here. I'm proud for y'all.
Chuck's the best.
Chuck is the best.
I'm so sad I didn't get to be here for that. Yeah.
I mean, he is what I think would change the whole ship thing. Because like you said, I mean, people are not really worried that much about Barchi anymore.
Right.
Although I do know there's some Barchis out there, and no disrespect. But it's not that relevant anymore. But a new couple would be great. And then it would be great if like they could double date with Chelsea and Choni.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems really, with 13 episodes for season one, I feel like I was more entertained and invested in the adults than I was with 23 episodes in season two. I feel like just like, I'm more with you, Matt. Like, you really underserved them with even more episodes.
You can pepper them in. Pepper them in, and it because obviously it's teenagers how they deal with their parents.
Right.
But I think when I say the plot line should be around what's happening in the teenagers' lives, and the parents are reacting to it.
Ben, let me ask you this. How did you feel when Alice Cooper screamed out to Betty, "Don't leave me"?
Right. You know, last week's episode.
At the music. That thing creeped me out. I watched it again, and I was like, still creeped
that
out.
That whole episode
It made me cry.
Weird.
It was amazing. It was so... No, okay. This is what I want to say.
Okay, Matt. He lives for
the
drama.
Because I will say, and, you know, I only... The show that I do is with another musical theater queen who's even more gayer than me. And we both agree. We actually say this was our favorite musical episode, second to Buffy. We're that strong about this episode.
God.
Because...
Have you seen Hairspray?
Because... No, TV musical.
Oh, okay.
TV musical.
Did you like it, Frank?
What they did... What I liked about that episode and what I feel like they didn't do is that a lot of musical episodes, they're like, we want people to sing, and they insert a song that has nothing to do with the plot line or the relevant. And I liked that they used Carrie musical, which is not a great musical, and they were able to reinterpret, and they had Betty Cooper, who doesn't have a voice, sing this song that she's not good singing at, that's about Carrie, and they ended up making the song about, we see her vulnerability of not wanting to lose her daughter.
Betty, honestly, I
like that.
I thought her voice was better than most, so that was original music from the Carrie musical.
Carrie's not a great music. That was the original music. It's not a great. So the fact that they didn't write it, that they took it, interpreted it, and like the love duet actually became about Betty and Veronica and healing their relationship. Sorry, it's a whole musical thing. I'll get on it. I'll just like, I'll start shooting glitter out of my fingers.
We'll have you back for another episode, but unfortunately we are running out of time. So I want to thank everybody here for listening and watching. It was so nice to be back here, guys. Thank you so much. Frank, where can the folks find you?
You don't want to find me. You can follow me, though, on I Love Ben Bateman.
It's too much.
On Twitter
too,
and Instagram.
It's too much, man.
Or you can follow me on Happy Go Jackie.
Shauna,
and you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at DShauna. Oh, I totally enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. I totally enjoyed this panel. Thank you. I do love y'all. And but Sam, get better. You can find me at The Matt Maher, 2 T's, 2 R's. Again, I do an advice podcast. I do a Riverdale podcast. It's a lot of, you know, male anatomy jokes. So it's a different type of show, y'all.
It's killer. It's killer stuff. Guys, thank you so much for coming. I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. I don't know. I'm so sorry to say this, but I may have to miss the rest of the season. I'm trying, guys.
But, no! Wait a minute. If, he dropped a bomb on us like this in front of all of you guys.
This is my last chance, and if I didn't say it right now, then I would feel so bad because you guys, I love y'all. Love being here.
I mean,
I'm going to try to make it for both or one of the next 2 weeks. But,
wow, I...
Oh, it's, okay, guys. Let's,
okay, the chat is actually... Throwing things in slow motion as a riot. They just shot someone now.
I'm gonna try.
But we don't know who.
Thank you guys so much for coming. It's been wonderful. Tweet at me, Ben Bateman Media. Let me know what you thought of the episode. And we will talk to you guys very, very soon.
Bye, Ben. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.